I'm ready.
Log Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating
down here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Waging war.
I promise
listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, March 6th, 2023. Now, tonight we will continue our transformational journey with part 5 of Overcoming Fear and Anxiety. Tonight's program is entitled Know Your Adversary, Part 2. But before we get into the lesson for tonight, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, I come again before your throne of grace, asking that I decrease, Lord, so that you can completely have the increase. Father God, I pray that you would step into this body of clay and use me, Lord God, to bless your people so that they might hear and truly receive, apply, and share your holy word. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that somebody that might be suffering from fear or anxiety tonight will hear a word that will truly set them free. I want to thank you for every servant leader that is here tonight. I thank you for the Spirit of Life family that is present. I thank you for every listener that is present. And I just thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to be of service to your kingdom. I pray this in all things in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Know your adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, in our last teaching, I exposed two sets of evil spirit twins, pride and haughtiness, along with their just as evil cousins, jealousy and envy. These and other evil spirits can and will rush in like a flood when we allow fear and anxiety to dictate our lives instead of faith. And on tonight, I'm going to continue to break down these spirits with scripture, so that we can all hear and see what God has to say about them. And we'll also share examples of how these spirits operate to demonstrate how easily we can entertain them if we don't keep our heart, our mind, and our spirit stayed on Jesus. And it's also very important to me that you all know that these teachings are not being presented out of a spirit of accusation or condemnation, but they are truly being shared out of love, because God always wants us to know just how much he loves us, especially when we are feeling afraid and anxious. Now, the spirits that were exposed last week and those that will be exposed tonight are all spirits that are manifested from within, and we can entertain them without even being aware that we are under attack. But they can and they will attack whenever and wherever we have unresolved issues or unrepented sin. Now, these spirits are all manifested through the working of the flesh, and they are rooted in pride. And as I told you the last time we were together, pride is one of the most harmful sins in our faith, because it causes you to look away from Jesus so that you might shine a spotlight on you. Pride says, I've got this. I'm the captain of my destiny. Pride is giving ourselves the credit for something that only God has accomplished. Pride is trying to take the glory that belongs to God and God alone and trying to keep it for ourselves. Pride is essentially, as I told you, self-worship. But all those blood-washed true believers know that we can't accomplish anything without God enabling and sustaining us. Basically, when you walk in pride, you're lying to yourself. And if you can so easily lie to yourself, it's certainly no stretch to lie to others. So the first spirit I'm going to talk about tonight is a lying spirit. Now, the Bible is clear that lying is a sin and more than a little displeasing to God. The first sin in this world involved a lie told to Eve. The Ten Commandments given to Moses includes, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbors. That's found in Exodus 20:16. Now let's look at Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, and he gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. Mm-hmm. And great fear came on all of them who heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Now you can see, even in the early church, Ananias and Sapphira lied regarding a donation in order to make themselves look more generous than they really were. And Peter's rebuke was and is very stern. He said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You see, God hates lies, and his judgment was even more stern because it was deadly. This couple died as a result of their sin of lying. Colossians 3 and 9 says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Lying is listed in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, as something practiced by the lawless. Furthermore, liars will be among those judged in the end, as declared in Revelation 21 and 8. In contrast, though, God, he never lies. As declared in Titus 1 and 2, he is the source of truth. It is impossible for God to lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. Okay, the word of God says, hey, hasn't everything God told you that he was going to do, hasn't he made it so? Hasn't he brought it to pass?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then Colossians 3 and 9 says, do not lie to each other. Because God is the source of truth. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And he expects those who follow him to be a people of truth. Truth is to be expressed in love, as in Ephesians 4:15, offering hope to those seeking redemption from the lies of this world. We went over this scripture last week, but it's appropriate as long as we're going through these spirits. We're going to talk about them some more. Proverbs 6:16 through 17. I want you to get this all the way down in your spirit. The word of God says, these six things the Lord hates. That word is, he says, hate. Indeed, seven are repulsive to him. Catch this one. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. Right after that, a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. You see, every fleshy action, every weakness unattended to, and every disobedience against God's law will open the door to the enemy, which he can and will take advantage of every chance he gets if we allow him to, because his only mission is to steal, kill, and destroy that which God holds most dear, us.
Amen.
Satan is constantly trying to create this distance between man and his almighty creator. And he wants to spread as much poison and venom as possible while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Now listen, people who are addicted to lying or who lie habitually without batting an eyelid and refuse to get help from God is probably under the influence of that lying spirit. And again, not only am I, these teachings are not being taught out of accusation, but it's for education. We have to know what we're looking at when we're looking at it. It might not always be us, but if it is, we got to deal with it. You know, and we especially lying lips because they are extremely disgusting to the Lord. But the Word of God says in Proverbs 12 and 22 that those who deal faithfully are delight. See, God is truth, and he's a God who hates lies. Lies are disgusting to him, much like flies are disgusting or harmful to our food. Again, lying distances God from us and causes our relationship with him to suffer. And, of course, it will cause our relationships with one another to suffer. You see, God cannot trust a man who is insincere and loves to lie because he allows Satan to use his mouth. See, lies originated from Satan himself. He is known as the father of lies. And it happened right after he was cast out of heaven from God's presence. You see, he invented it out of his twisted nature. You see, the enemy had lost the divine presence, and he also lost the divine nature of God. Jesus, in his conversation with the Jews, exposes Satan as the father of lies. He says, "You are your father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the desires of which are your characteristics of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him.
Amen.
When he lies, Amen. He speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half truth." With that being said, let me explain something to you. Anytime God doesn't deal, not only does he not like lies, he didn't like half-truths either. And anytime you're telling something and any part of it is untrue, the whole thing's a lie. You have taken God out of it. Hallelujah. Every time you lie as a Christian, the presence of God immediately withdraws from you until you repent. You see what Jesus said about the devil and those who lie habitually and unrepentantly? The Lord shows us the direct link between Satan and the habit of lying. So why do people lie? Well, it's like we said in lesson number one. People lie because of greed and selfishness, just like Ananias and Sapphira did. They wanted to look bigger than, better than, be honored more than what they deserve. People lie because of the fear of man. Many people, especially children and young people, they lie because they're afraid of correction, rebuke, or punishment for their wrong actions. And they falsely think that lying solves the problem and covers up their wrong deeds. Thus, they are under the influence of a lying spirit from that many array of spirits that the Satan has. See, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. That's Proverbs 29 and 25. Some people lie because they're seeking personal favoritism or eye service. You know, they're seeking the favor of someone that they believe can put them in a position or do something for them. Such was the case with the lying and flattering prophets from King Ahab called upon to inquire of the Lord as to the future or the outcome of the battle he and King Jehoshaphat wanted to engage in. Now, to look up more of this, you can go to 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, Jehoshaphat insists on Ahab calling for a true prophet of the Lord, which he eventually does. And Micaiah, a true prophet of the Lord, eventually comes on the scene and says what God showed him. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by, and on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go forth that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So you see, the prophets of Ahab exposed themselves to a lying spirit because they wanted to please Ahab. They wanted to tell him all those sweet things they knew that he would just love to hear. They were men pleasers rather than God pleasers. So the scripture instructs us to desist from lying. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak with truth to his neighbor, says Ephesians 4:25. Now, the reason it's so important for us to really expose this stuff and uncover it is because when we understand why people lie and when we understand what God's word says about lying, then we can help ourselves and help others to enter into a more closer walk with the Lord. Because, see, we do have all the tools necessary to fight all of these demons. So the word of God says in Psalms 19:12-13, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumption sins. Let them not have dominion over me. So anytime we're going to deal with any kind of spirit, since we know that Satan is a relentless, cunning thief and faith killer, if we don't stand up and resist him, then we need, of all people, need to be looking at everything through the lens of Scripture, not our feelings, not our opinions, not our agendas, but through the lens of Scripture. And we must always be willing to first and foremost examine ourselves. We need to check our motives, and then we must be totally honest with ourselves if we find that we might have been doing a right thing for all the wrong reasons. But you know what? God always gives us a tool. Tools. And repentance is always a beautiful tool and a beautiful gift that we can utilize. It's the first step in taking back what the enemy has stolen from you. So if you or someone you love, you believe is under the influence of a lying spirit, first of all, you repent. Because we all need to ask God's mercy and forgiveness and ask him for grace to overcome that lying, that pride, whatever that spirit is, and that, you know, that has become a habit in our lives. And then we need to always ask God to remove from us the fear of men. Remove from us the need to seek men's approval. Remove from us greed and whatever we believe that is making us habitually fall into the traps of Satan, to fall under the influence of these demons. Psalms 119:29 says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. And let me tell you something. When we repent, you better be ready to do the work because discipline is required.
Amen.
To overtake any of these spirits, including a lying spirit, we have to be disciplined. And we can't be too quick to talk or to respond. You know, we have to take time, like I said, to really examine ourselves. Ask ourselves some questions. So we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard and ask the Lord to set a guard over our mouth and keep watch over the doors of our lips, as in Psalm 141:3. And then, beloved, we have to get into the habit. Understand and know we have been given the authority to cast out and to bind all evil spirits if we only have the faith to believe what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot be afraid to say, look, I bind this lying spirit in the name of Jesus, and I loose.
Yes.
I loose the truth of God's word into my life. I loose it. I bind that need to please. And I loose the need to please God. We have to learn how to not only bind it, but we have to cast it out. And, you know, when it comes to lying, the spirit of lying, I've always heard my mom and other elders say, if you tell one lie, you'll have to tell 20 more to try to get out of that one lie. But you see, beloved, if you simply tell the truth will always stand on its own.
Amen.
Now watch this. Watch this hookup. Watch how the enemy brings all his little raggedy evil imps in like a flood. Now we've had pride and we've had haughtiness and we've had jealousy and envy, and now we've had lying. Now we got, you know, we got people that think they all of that, and people owe them things, and they want to be seen as something that they are not. They're putting off their false perceptions. They've got their false humility down pat. They think they're really doing it, and all they've done is open themselves up to that spirit of heaviness. Because, you know, it's got to be hard keeping all them lies in the air, juggling all them balls, keeping all them perceptions going, wondering if they figured out that you're not who you say you were yet, whatever the case may be. I know that's I know that cannot be easy.
No, it isn't.
So now I'm going to talk to you about that spirit of heaviness. There's a song that says, when the battle makes me weary, it seems that I've lost ground. It's so hard to hear your voice, Lord, with distractions all around. I try to lift my hands to give you praise, but then a spirit of heaviness tries to shield your face. So I'm saying, breathe. These are the opening lines to a gospel song written and sung by Fred Hammond entitled, Breathe Into Me, O Lord. Now, the emotional turmoil captured in these lyrics reflect a believer's struggle to follow God while there is, you know, to follow God with all these distractions. There is a real desire to do what is right, to listen, obey, and praise God. But there is also the struggle, the opposition. You see, the spirit of heaviness prevents effective worship by making the believer feel isolated from God. Instead of feeling connected to the Lord, as Fred Hammond sings about, there are distractions all around. And these distractions can originate internally or externally, but all have the same result. They distance us from the Most High God.
Yes, they do.
They separate us and make us feel alone in our sin. Yes. And we cannot worship God. We cannot truly give him our all in all because we're just so bowled over. Can you relate to these lyrics? Have you ever experienced a spirit of heaviness? Have you ever sought desperately to feel God's presence, but you just kept falling short? I know the Christians throughout history can relate to this sentiment. Believers know the feeling of yearning to be in the presence of God, but at times still feel alone. We are also familiar with the desire of wanting to do right, but continuously failing. Jesus knew this about humanity, which is why he said the following in Matthew 26:41. Stay awake and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you need to know that each of us is susceptible to the spirit of heaviness because of our sinful nature. But being susceptible is not the same as giving in, thanks to God. With a willing spirit, we can overcome the weakness of the flesh. Jesus offers a solution when he says, stay awake and pray. Fred Hammond's song references this solution in his song, as the title suggests. He wants God to breathe into him and thus render him anew. It says, breathe into me, O Lord, the breath of life, so that my spirit would be whole and my soul made right. Breathe into me, O Lord, day by day, so that my heart is pure before you always, always. Now, we know, once again, that whatever kind of spirit of heaviness that is affecting us, the answer can be found in God and his holy word. Now, some might be asking, exactly what is the spirit of heaviness? Well, a direct mentioning of the spirit of heaviness can be found in the book of Isaiah, and which is authored by, of course, Isaiah, the prophet of the same name. And in chapter 61, we receive an admission from him that the spirit of God is upon him. And the reason the Holy Spirit resides in Isaiah is because of his task as a prophet, to interpret and to share the word, and to share the word of God he receives. Over the course of the chapter, he shares the outcome of his good word, which amounts to many blessings for God's children. Some of these blessings include exchanging misfortunes in life for better circumstances. One of these contrasts includes the spirit of heaviness being exchanged for a garment of praise. Isaiah 61:3 says, To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. So you see, the act of praising God is one that brings us closer to God. While the spirit of heaviness disconnects, praise connects. This verse and chapter helps us to better understand the meaning of the spirit of heaviness. Now, the other comparisons in the chapter reflect hardship and adversity experienced by the people of God. Now, this suffering may produce tears, isolation, and even sin. The spirit of heaviness can be characterized as any intense negative feeling that challenges our faith and what we know about God. Heaviness may result from our own habitual sins like addiction, lying, or gossip. Or could also occur from something like a loss of a job or a loved one. To feel heavy is to be burdened, and to be burdened is not to carry light, the light and easy yoke of Jesus, as he describes it in Matthew 11:30. But now, whatever the source of our heaviness, we will lose sight of God's goodness and have a more magnified picture of our suffering when we allow fear and anxiety to rule instead of our faith. The spirit of heaviness is a challenge of holding on to doubt. However, an important question for any believer is, will I cling to what I feel about the situation, or am I going to stand on what I know about God? Since the first two humans that sinned, mankind has been born into trouble. That's what it says in Job 5:7. While this may be true, we are not called as Christians to give in to negative feelings or behaviors. We are called to do quite the opposite. In the blessings Isaiah shares, there's an underlying promise that God will correct each and every problem. Isaiah purposely mentions the garment of praise in contrast with the spirit of heaviness to reveal what believers should cling to instead. The Bible has in other areas also indicated just what our spirit should be. The spirit of heaviness is not included in these positive and uplifting descriptions. Instead, we read that the Bible wants our spirits to be bright, joyful, and always connected to God. So let me break it down so there will be no mistake. Our spirit should be a grateful spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, one reason heaviness can overwhelm us is that we have lost sight of God's blessings. See, keeping our minds focused on what we do have as opposed to what we don't have will lead us to live lives replete with gratitude. You see, God is good, and he blesses us daily. But you know what? A lot of times we take those daily blessings from God for granted. They almost go by unnoticed. But see, we got to wake up every morning with an attitude of gratitude. We have to have gratitude all down in our spirit.
Yeah.
And we also need to learn how to cultivate a patient spirit. Because the word of God says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagle. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. Patience is to wait and to trust. The most patient of us must learn that sometimes we can't do it without complaint. We can't reach something without waiting. Life involves plenty of waiting. Whether waiting for someone to perform a helpful deed or for ourselves to fully complete a task, we have to practice patience. And when I say practice patience, that means we have to pray and then wait to hear from God.
From God. Amen.
We got to do that just like Habakkuk did and like David did, because, you know, they spent some time waiting on the Lord. They spent a whole lot of time in prayer, which was, again, followed by the listening period.
The listening.
The spirit of heaviness was upon them more than once. But they knew how to properly respond to God, and that was with patience. Hallelujah. That was with gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. That was with a loving spirit. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we almost must love one another. That's 1 John 4:11. You see, what you need to understand, if we love our brothers and sisters, if we love ourselves, if the spirit of heaviness is not dealt with, it can and will leave us bitter and weak. And those that are dealing with addictions may fall under the control of the flesh. Others who have given up on people will find themselves alone and angry and afraid. Hallelujah. And then after a while, they get even angry with God. But you see, love keeps us open to serving God and to serving others. And we will always find a way to do love. But again, God has given us every weapon in our arsenal that we need to overcome these spirits. First of all, we have to know the truth. We're going to go there every time. Be real. Know the truth. The word of God says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know what? The more informed of the scriptures that we become, the less heavy our spirits will be. See, suffering makes us doubt God. But knowing him, hallelujah, coming into trusting him, that reaffirms what we know. And by becoming aware of scriptures, we can refute any lie that anything tries to bring to us. Any lie that we even think we're going to be tempted to believe, it's always going to be overcome by the truth of God's word. There are plenty of promises God has made to his people in old days and to his children now. And the more we know, the more we will be able to feel his presence. So in all things, we have to get real, trust ourselves, know the truth, and next we have to pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Every day we should thank God for his blessings. We display gratitude with the words we speak, thanking God for his gifts in prayer, or even acknowledging our blessings to others. You know what? Sometimes you might just have to keep a gratitude journal, too. That's another way of communicating with God and to ourselves. See, more prayer equals more communications about our suffering, about what we're feeling, and that brings about a presence, more of a presence with God. You see, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest vices that Satan uses is isolation. Like I just told my family yesterday. See, the Lord wants us to be one. He wants us to come together. Together we win. Together we're strong. Together we will encourage one another. Together we will pray for one another. And we know that prayer changes things. But if the enemy can get us off to ourselves, then we're alone with our stinking thinking, and we will fulfill our own prophecy. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. But you know what you need to do? You need to get over that. That is exactly the time that when you feel like that, when you're feeling scared, when you're feeling afraid, when you're feeling anxiety, when you're feeling like you're under attack, you need to get around some people that love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
As in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, if someone empowers one person, if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. What they're saying is, you know, the enemy might get one over on us by ourselves. But oh, hallelujah,
yeah.
When we come together, when we rally the wagons and we get elbow to elbows with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we get weary, when one starts holding the arms up, when one starts praying, hallelujah, when one starts praising, when one starts just lifting up the name of Jesus, pleading the blood of Jesus, things change, things happen, hallelujah, demons have to go, the enemy has to flee. We can say,
yes.
Breathe into me, O Lord.
Yes.
You know, much like the song, even if the spirit of heaviness is on us, we should push through that. And we need to remember the truth. And sometimes what we have to simply do is praise our way through, because praise will connect us with God. Maybe you might not feel it immediately, but ultimately, you will, again, feel the presence of the Most High God. And another truth to recall is that even when we do not feel God's presence, check this out, he's still there.
Yeah.
The Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing, because God is always listening.
Yeah.
So we need to keep this in mind, no matter what the attack, no matter what the spirit might be. We need to be able to go to God, and we need to be able to declare and decree the word of God over our lives. We need to be able to bind, hallelujah, and cast out those negative things in our lives by the power of God through his holy word and his spirit. So we need to get into really understanding that when we are overcome, when we allow fear and anxiety to run rampant in our lives, we can roll that back in. We can say, breathe into me, Lord. Breathe into me.
Rain on me.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So now the last and final spirit that I'm going to have us look at tonight is the spirit of infirmity. Because you know what? When you lie to yourself, when you're trying to run around and be somebody you're not, and you're in this place of the flesh, the workings of the flesh, and you know, because your fear and your anxiety is causing you to act out of your fear instead of your faith, this is what happens. You can literally, these demons will literally run you into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You see, infirmity is an infection that causes weakness and disability of the body. And infirmity is of two categories, which include, one, we all know, there is the physical infirmities,
mm-hmm.
you know, the physical ailments. We have to understand, saints of God, as sickness or bodily, as we are told about sickness or bodily disease in John chapter 5, 5 through 6, where it says, now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which is in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had an infirmity for 38 years. So when you are trying, when you allow fear and anxiety to rule your life, it will literally wear you out. Matter of fact, it can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's physical infirmity and then there's spiritual infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Now, this is a state where your spirit is suffering. You know, you're spiritually bankrupt in some areas. You're missing a few things. You know, the symptoms can include, you know, you have a reduced hunger and thirst for the things of God. You might not want to, you know, you just can't seem to function properly with the spiritual gifts that you say God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you have faulty perception or your interpretations just aren't quite all the way right. But right now, tonight, I want us to consider some interesting scriptures that should open our eyes to the demonic operation of this little nasty spirit. Let's consider Luke 13, verses 10 through 11. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by the spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Now, this is a terrible case where a woman has been down, unable to move, because a spirit has tied her down. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I want you to understand how this spirit gains access into your life. Watch how easily it can get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. Childhood abuse. If you were abused as a child, it could create a situation of pain in you that the spirit of infirmity can exploit and gain access into your life. Trauma.
Amen.
If you have had traumatic experiences in your past and you haven't really taken that whole thing to the Lord for a complete healing and restoration, oh, it gives this little demon all kind of room to gain foothold in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Evil dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be careful about what you put in your psyche.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You need to be real careful. Because, see, there's just sometimes your spirit has no business trying to absorb certain things because it comes out in your dreams.
Amen.
And right there, that spirit of infirmity has entered into your life and it's already making a toehold. Have you dreaming all kind of crazy mess when you should be sleeping, resting with the angels peacefully so you can get up and do the work of the kingdom in the morning.
Amen.
Addiction.
Yeah.
Hear me now. If you're addicted to alcohol, you ever been addicted to alcohol, drugs, overeating, demonic movies that promote witchcraft, pornography, whatever it is, masturbation, they all are open doors to the demons of infirmity to attack your mind, to attack your body, and to bring weakness and pain to you. Now, before I go into some detailed steps how to deal with this spirit, there is a consciousness we have got to grab hold to. And two things to get hold to on which is revealed by scripture is this, Ephesians 6 and 12. We know it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
See, the first thing we must have this understanding that although our fellow human beings may be physically inflicting us, our focus should not totally be centered on them. Because, see, they're just the physical puppets of the enemy. They are just here to control the systems and the entity that these spirits work through. We have to understand who we really met, who we're really dealing with. That is the one who was out to steal, kill, and destroy the very second that he was defeated and threw out of God's presence.
Man.
Satan is always at the bottom of it. He is the true enemy. These spirits are just that, spirits. They're byproducts of him. They're not him. Second Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare, saints of God, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having known who the true enemy is, here we are opened up to the understanding of nature and power of our tool and how to get it activated. And that is through our knowledge of God that this weapon is activated." Ooh, truth is power. Prayer is power. Praise is power.
Amen.
Okay? Ephesians. Now, that's the first principle I want you to get. Now, the second one is this. It's found in Ephesians 6:13. Excuse me for a second. Ah, thank you, Jesus. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand," it says stand firm then, "with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And in addition to all this, you need to go ahead and take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the enemy, of the evil one. And then it said, go on, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, excuse me, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Satan, you need to go on with that. And it says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Yes,
now, this scripture outlines what our weapons are and the position that we should put them on. And once we've been armed fully with these three outlined scriptures and properly equipped, then we can move straight to how we deal with this spirit called the spirit of infirmity. Ha-ha, because there's only two steps we need, really. And now, well, first of all, we need to believe in the authority of Jesus and his power. Let's look at Mark 9:23. It says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes. But one thing must be clear here. If you are influenced by this spirit of infirmity, you can't on your own pull yourself out. For it's a man not under captivity and skilled in that field, too, that can set captives free, except on the cases of divine intervention when God does the work on you by himself, as we have heard on several occasions, through dreams and visions or sending his angels to minister to you." But cases like this are are rare and uncommon.
Amen.
This is so that you don't force yourself to get it done by yourself. Now, let's look at James 5:14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this doesn't negate the fact that you can be armed by God to do the same for another person who is sick, like a family or friend. You know, we're saying the first thing you should do when you're sick is go to God. Now, Mark 9:25 shows us how deliverance can come from this spirit. Because the word of God says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the crowd was running to this scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Receive your healing with faith. So again, first of all, we got to examine ourselves. We got to get real. We've got to know God's truth. And then we've got to pray. We've got to pray to deal with this spirit. But you know how you begin? First of all, why don't we start by thanking God for his will? And that his will is to heal us and to heal our loved ones. And then why don't we, while we're up there now, we need to ask God some very, we can ask God some very pointed questions. God does not mind questions. You know?
Amen.
Be real about it. Just ask God, God, please reveal to me and, you know, and the people that we're praying for where those doorways are that those demons are trying to come through and get a toehold and operate. You got to ask God to show you and then be ready to handle the truth. And then, look here, we got to take that authority and say, you know, I plead. Now, you know, always taking authority by the power of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we need to plead the blood of Jesus over the foundation and the sources of those spirits of infirmity. That's what we need to be doing. And then don't be scared to call them out. You know, mention them. Call them out by name. And then demand them demons to come up out and lead in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's time for the saints of God to start declaring and decreeing the word of God over themselves. You know, we need to be starting to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I overcome every spirit of infirmity. And I, praise the Lord, speak life over my family from this day forward.
Amen.
We're not going to deal with that spirit of infirmity. You see, Jesus died for our freedom. He shed his blood for our salvation and for our healing. And if we know that, we can then say, therefore, I declare by faith that I'm going to shut down these attacks on my body. I'm going to shut down these illegal attacks on my household. I'm going to curse those illegal and unlawful activities against my health, against the health of my loved one, in Jesus' name. If it's hurt that you're dealing with, if it's the hurt that's causing you to be afraid, you better tell Father, Heavenly Father, deliver me from all that residue of that buried hurt, that hurt I thought I had buried so deep I thought I was healed from, but every so often it rises up again. Oh, Lord God, please deliver me from that anger and that bitterness in my life. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to overcome my anger and help me overcome my anxiety and my fear so I don't operate in bitterness, so I don't operate in hurt, so I don't operate in and anger. Declare over yourself, from today forward, I make my spirit, my soul, and my body a holy place for the Lord and for the Spirit of God. You tell that, you tell them devils, it will no longer be a house for all you demons of infirmity. In Jesus' name, pack your stuff, get your toothbrush, get up out my house. You heard me? Every demon of infirmity causing me to be sick, bad in pain, being mental torment. Let me tell you something. You need to go and pack your bags and depart from up in here. I am casting you out into the abyss in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I declare and decree in the mighty name of Jesus, I'm going to disconnect myself and my loved ones from all forms of evil covenants and all these demons of infirmity and that are using a legal ground to attack my body, my family's body. Oh, no. We are going to be delivered. Fire from heaven, destroy every evil deposit in my life and the lives of those I love. Lord, deliver us from everything causing sickness, depression, sorrow, and continuous pain in Jesus' name. Oh, Father God, we come just thanking you for deliverance in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to bind that. You got to bind that.
Amen.
You really do. You've got to turn it over to God and say, Lord, thy will be done. I know that if you brought me to it, you're going to help me through it. You're going to help me to get over the hump. Lord God, I don't have to be afraid. These spirits are not going to rush into my life like a flood. They are not going to overtake me. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus that loves me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, not because I said so, but because my daddy God said so.
Yeah.
Now you heard me? Oh, yeah. We want to go gangster on one another. Oh, we're good about rolling our eyes and rolling our necks and putting our fingers up in the air. Well, why don't you go gangster on the devil?
Yeah.
Get gangster with him.
Right.
Matter of fact, baby,
right.
Get godly with him. Tell him about what God said.
Yeah.
Let
Amen.
Him know that you know.
That's right.
Amen.
You not going to have no spirit that's built all willy-nilly up
Please.
In you.
Please.
My
Please.
Body is
Please.
Not my
Please.
Own. My temple is not my own. It was bought and paid for with a price.
High price.
Yeah.
And my God says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Preach, preach.
Right.
And I cannot be proclaiming to be a child of God while having a love affair with the devil.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Okay, you can't do it. You cannot do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You cannot
Hallelujah.
Do it.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Either you're going to stand for the things of God
right.
or you're going to hang out with the world. But you cannot have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in hell. You need to choose ye this day who ye will serve. You need to make a choice. You need to get committed, and you need to get a little bit of stick with it all up in your spirit.
Amen.
You have to understand something. When you are a child of God, the enemy knows that there's something valuable living on the inside of you. He knows
please,
that there's
please.
Something valuable that you have to offer. Because,
come
excuse
on,
me, who knows of a thief that breaks into an empty house? Nobody. Burglars are only going to burglarize something that they, when they think there's something, they want something.
Value.
And what's the first Wait. Thing out of that Jesus tells us about Satan? He came to steal, kill,
and destroy.
And destroy. See, he wants to use these spirits to steal your faith, to rob you of your joy. Hallelujah. He wants to pounce on your peace. You understand me? He wants you to be walking around doubting, discouraged, afraid, anxious about everything, untrusting, suspicious, accusing folks. Oh, they don't like me. I know they talking about me. What makes you think you all of that in a bag of chips? Okay? And if they all talking about you, so what? They talk about Jesus and get a grip.
Man.
Get over yourself. It ain't about you.
Preach.
It's about Jesus.
Right. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
If there's something right on the inside of you that makes you feel as though, I think I did really good there. I deserve some kudos. No, what you deserve to do, God ain't going to give you. Because, see, he's a God of grace and mercy. The word of God says, be careful how you do your alms before men to be seen of them. Because, see, if you do your stuff so people can say, oh, that's so wonderful, well, that's all the rewards you have coming. Don't be going up to the kingdom looking for nothing. Because, see, you already got all your praise. You already got all your glory. You didn't give the Lord time to do it. You're too busy doing it yourself. Fear is an anxiety. Bring out the worst in us. The worst. And we need to know that about ourselves. I don't care how long we've been in the Word of God. We can be licensed, ordained servant leaders. We can be, you know, all of that. So what? So what? We all will sin, and we all have sinned, and we'll sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we're going to do that until we hear Jesus himself say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So thanks to God. That's me. Pulling off the covers of three more of those evil, foul, ugly little spirits that we look. So now when we see them, we can say, we can see you.
I know that.
And that's what I want. I want the children of God to be able to go, we see you. Everybody know how to pray. Everybody be knowing how to pray. You know, sometimes we have to say, hey, we have to go into the Holy Ghost huddle. Okay. All right, now Sister Michelle, Evangelist Michelle. Okay, you start praying about that pride. Okay, Mother Mitchell, you gonna go in and you gonna hit them down low with that patience part, that patience. Okay, Bishop Lester. Okay, now we gonna talk to we need you to get him in on get in to go on and pray about that truth, helping that truth get on down in that brother. You know what I'm saying? You go yeah. See, we got you. Hey, Holy Ghost. But together we win. We can rally the wagons around our brothers and sisters when they weak. And sometimes people don't like to tell you what they're going through. Because one, they're also plagued with that spirit of guilt, that spirit of shame, that spirit of, when they did open up before, people have took their trust and they have twisted it. They've told all their business. They've heard themselves being talked about. So there's many reasons. But see, our thing is, are we going to be a part of the problem or are we going to be a part of God's solution? So right now I'm going to open this up. I want all, we have a lot of beautiful servant leaders up in here tonight. We got Mother Mattie, our beautiful dear mother from over at the Good Shepherd. She's a big supporter of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. We have Evangelist Michelle Scott. We have Apostle Zeta Flowers. We have Minister Tina Brown. We have Bishop and Pastor. We have Bishop Lester and Pastor Vanessa Carver. And we have Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. So everybody, your mics are unmuted. So if anybody has any comments or questions, hey, let's just run through the house and roll with them. Amen. And who wants to start?
Bishop Cook. Cook, giving honor to Father God and to King Jesus, who are the head of my life. I tell you, and I thank you for keeping Mrs. Givens in prayer. She's at home now.
Yes.
She's at home. And I tell you preach the word. Now, this is supposed to be Bible study, but you preach the word, my sister.
Amen.
You preach
All
the word. Them. You preach the word. And you glorify the Lord,
glorify.
And the devil is horrified because the devil is horrified,
yes.
And he's been ran and he's gone. I tell you,
good.
You preach the word.
We warn him up away. Oh, bless the Lord.
And that hit it hit the nail on the head because I tell you, I've been going through some things, but I tell you, the Lord is good. He's better than good. He's excellent.
Yes,
he's
ma'am.
Better than excellent. He's wonderful.
Yes.
He's more than wonderful. He's just awesome. He's just
yes, he
awesome,
is.
Excellent, superior, supreme, divine, and all
Come
the
on
heaven,
now.
All the earth.
Yeah.
And he rules,
okay.
He rules
yes,
over everything.
Jesus.
He sits high and he looks low and he looks beyond our faults and see our
yes,
needs.
Thank
and the
you,
Lord,
Lord
is blessing us even when we don't know it. He's blessing
yes.
us, even when we may not ask
yes.
for a blessing. He's still blessing
yes.
us. I tell you,
yes,
this is
yes.
my sister,
yes,
you preach the word. You preach. Now, you preach.
Hallelujah.
This is
Hallelujah.
Supposed to be Bible study, but you preach. I mean, you
Hallelujah.
Preach. You told the truth.
Man.
You told the truth, because we have to plead the blood
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. We have to plead the blood
yes.
of Jesus. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy and devour everything
yes, he
in his
is.
Path. But guess what? The devil's time is limited, too, because he's going to get
yes.
locked up in the pit. Because King Jesus
That's
is
right.
coming back. He's coming back for his church. His church without
That's
spot,
right.
blemish, wrinkle, stain, cat wrinkle. He's coming back for his saints. And the King Jesus is coming back to judge the world. Father God, I just thank you so much for King Jesus. The Bible said, God so loved the world, he gave his
yes.
only begotten son. He said, whoever believeth in me shall not perish, ha! But they will have everlasting
well,
life. And we know that. This
yes,
was to
ma'am.
Really preach
Thank
the word.
You.
This was a wonderful, wonderful yeah. program. God bless you.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Bless
God
you
bless
all.
You, my
God. God bless your families. I love you
we
all.
Love you.
I tell you, and I'm sorry, Mrs. Mother Givens missed this because she missed the treat. I tell you, you preach the word. You preach the word. I know
Amen.
The Lord is happy. I know the Lord is pleased. Thank you so much
Hallelujah.
For that word.
Thank
we
you,
all need it.
Amen.
That's healing. That's healing. That's healing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
All right. Mother
yeah.
Mitchell, come on in the room.
Thank
I just
you.
Go through the
yes,
house.
Ma'am.
Mother Mitchell,
thank
will you have a
you.
Word?
Thank you.
Yes,
Lord,
ma'am. I just want to say, you know, we've been sitting too long as Christians,
yes.
as Christ-like Lord. People.
Yes.
We have been sitting too long under the labels of the old devil instead of under those
yes.
that Christ says about us and
yes.
who we are and
Come
what
on.
We can do in
That's
His
good.
Holy and powerful
yeah.
name. So it's time we yeah. just, what you've been just, you preached about today, and I agree
he
with
did.
What
he preached.
Sister
he preached.
Betsy said, you preached.
Yeah.
Girl, it was so good. That's why I hate to miss. Because I know
yeah.
I'm missing a blessing, and I want to hear it and learn and take
yeah.
it all in. But, you
Thank
know,
you,
God
Lord.
Loves us so much.
Yes, Lord.
And he doesn't
yes.
want
yes,
us
Lord.
To be under the labels
Thank
of
Jesus.
The old
No, he doesn't.
Favor.
Yes. Yes.
He wants us
yes.
to be under who he says we are. And
That's right.
We
Amen.
Says we are.
That's right.
So
That's
I just
right.
thank God for the everything that you're pointing out. Beautiful message. So much
yes,
we can
yes.
all learn for it. And like you said, it doesn't matter how long we've been sitting under the word
nope.
of somebody.
No, it's not.
If
yes.
it isn't the
yes.
right word and the word we need, we haven't been sitting
mm-hmm.
under anything.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just thank God for the real word, his word, the only
yes.
word.
Yes.
So
yes.
God,
yes.
Jesus,
Amen.
And thank you. And thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Right.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. All
Amen.
Right, now, Bishop Lester, are you still just going to listen? Are you still just going to listen, Bishop? I think you got something to say, Bishop Lester.
I'm still
going to listen.
I made it all the way. I'm still with you, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you, you want to go. Goodness gracious. The one thing I definitely wanted to make sure that we pointed out tonight, right, is regarding the spirit of infirmity, right, is we have an easy time believing that the blood of Christ can cover all of our sins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We forget it's the body of Jesus Christ that paid for our infirmities before Jesus Christ was pierced in the side, before he was laid in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights.
Jesus
39 lashes with whip with a pieces of metal and bone at the end, just ripping his flesh.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. And see, you know what, Bishop? You just led that into right here. I got to go with the Holy Spirit. You just hit on the head what I was going to bring in a little bit later in this program, because I was going to talk about that, because I want to give everyone an opportunity, hallelujah, to declare and decree, hallelujah, for the lost that they shall live and shall not die. And I'm praying that someone heard something on tonight about what God thinks about them and what God says about them and how much God loves them, that they will no longer want to stay in darkness, that they understand that the price has been paid. Jesus has paid all. All we have to do is believe that he came and he died and he rose for our sins. He has done anything.
Yeah. That's right.
But he came down here knowing that he was going to die. Now, if that's not love, I don't know what is.
Amen.
That's right.
I don't know what is.
That's right. That's right.
And so if he went to all that trouble, if he went to all that care, well, if he would allow himself to take a gory place and turn it into a glory place so that we might have a right to the tree of life,
then what makes
you think he did all of that for us to walk around afraid, to walk around under the spirit of infirmity, to walk around anxious, to walk around? How can we possibly walk around thinking that we've done anything?
Amen.
So right now, if you are under the sound of our voices, and I want to thank Bishop Lester because he brought it in, you don't have to leave here the same way that you came in.
Exactly.
You really don't.
Amen.
All you need to do is go to the Lord and confess your sin. Repent. Let him know that you believe that he is the son of the living God. That you believe that he came and he paid the price for your sin. And that he rose and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting right there right now ready to intercede on your behalf. And let me explain something to you. Please get caught up in Christ and not the building, the church building. Okay, please get caught up in Christ and not the church building. We want you to go to Jesus and ask him by the power of his Holy Spirit to teach you his ways, to protect you from those spirits that will try to come in and overtake you. And I just praise God. Hallelujah, that we are one body in Christ, and we come together and we will teach and we will surely reach somebody. So I want to thank you for that, Bishop Lester. You sent me on one. Hallelujah. But since we're right there, we're going to stay right there. Pastor Vanessa, you in the room, baby? You can come right on in, and you can, as a matter of fact, you can pray and seal this teaching.
I will pray. Thank you, Pastor Cook, and thank you for that message. One of the things I will pray is that we utilize the word to break up and to teach, and of course, like you said, to create more unity in us so that we are more effective. You know, just like a dog that can smell fear, the enemy smells fear. And when we go out and we are not ready to defend our faith, because that's what it's getting down to. It really is.
Yes.
It's not about who's right. It's about recognizing truth. So I'm going to pray.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Word, that's how it was used, and how I'm listening to it even as a tool to teach me to recognize things within myself and to understand those things that dismantled my effectiveness out in the world, those things that create that it says don't hide our light under a bushel, but when we're in place,
come on,
we see it.
Amen.
Do it every time. The enemy telling it. Going about punking us out. So I just thank you, Father God, today for this word. I thank you, Lord, today because it is developed with your power, your might, all these things. And our faith, just our plain, activate us into places where we're using and walking into everything you called us to. Just simply that. Even how we gravitate to one another.
Yes.
Even how we see one another. Even how we pray as apostle for one another, how we intercede for one another, and how we expect when we pray that things will change. They change in us first so that we will be able to be effective every day of our life, no matter what we face. So, Father God, I thank you for the calling of the lost.
Thank
I thank you,
Jesus.
Lord.
Thank you.
Faith. I thank you today. Those that they're called to, those fivefold ministry gifts, Father God, will be actualized, Father, because we don't walk in a place of fear, worry, or doubt. We don't walk in a place where we're looking for our own abilities and our own skill sets of who you called us to be and based upon who you are. So help us, Lord, to know you more and to come out of agreement with those things that don't speak to who we are.
Yes,
your power.
Lord God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Vanessa.
Amen.
Minister Tina, come on in the room, beloved. You got a word for us tonight?
I just want to say praise God, glory, hallelujah. I needed to hear that tonight. That was just on point as to what's going on around the world right now with pride and all kinds of people having anxiety and people lying and that kind of thing, and just bringing that to the forefront, how God hates those things in us, and how we need to follow His word and follow what He tells us to do through His word and be more Christ-like by following His word and not allowing the enemy to drag us down with those things. To be able to come out and realize when we are maybe prideful or when we do have anxiety, to have no fear, that we walk with the Lord with us, and that we need to keep on keeping on with the Lord and His word and the prayer every day and how important that is. So thank you so much. This was the Spirit Alive Ministries. I know they thought it was Bible study, but Spirit Alive Ministries, Taking to the Streets, you always bring us the message, okay, and then on Wednesday we have Bible study every day almost, but I appreciate everything that you do for us because you keep us on point. You know, Sunday service is always straight, but come Monday, it's really strange because come Monday, we need to be brought back and ground to hear the word, and I do appreciate this tonight because I really need to hear it. So much.
Amen.
I love you.
God bless you. I love you too, my dear sister. All right, my other dear sister, Evangelist Michelle, come on in the room. You have a word for us tonight, beloved.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was so powerful. I just first want to say that I hope and pray that every man and woman, and mostly the children who didn't hear this in this broadcast will hear it in rebroadcasting so that they would know that they don't have to walk around so prideful, especially these kids thinking that they have to be like their friends and walk in around here killing up people, doing drugs, just being malicious, and that they could walk and stand on their own. stand with God, but stand up to the bullies and the people that's trying to get them to live just a terrible life out here. They have a life worth living, and that life is to live for God, and we just want them to know that we love them here at Spirit Alive, and they get more than a teaching over here. And we just thank God for you, Apostle Cook. Keep on pouring into all of the vessels around the world. I love you so much, and God bless you.
I love you, dear sister. God bless you. Glory to God. All praises unto the Lord. Apostle Zeta, hallelujah. Come on, Anchor. You can bring it on. Take it to the bridge.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Praise God. It was so beautiful, and everybody else's comments was just so rich as well. I like what Mother Mati said. She said, the devil is horrified, and I believe it tonight. But God has been glorified. I just wanted to share a passage of scripture, and you gave us such rich word. It was just,
amen.
So beautiful.
Precept upon precept.
Okay, 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and let's see. Start with the fifth verse. It says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How did Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobated. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, as well as the Lord speaking to us tonight. And he says, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear a fool, but that you should do that which is honest.
Yes.
If we do that is honest, we're not likely to lie.
Though
we be as reprobates. Verse 8 says, we can do nothing against the truth. But
that's
right. For the truth. Amen.
That's right.
And then First John, let's see, the fifth chapter and the 18th verse says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So we do have a way of escape here when the enemy is trying to trick us into doing other than what God's ways are. Okay, so, and we know that we are of God and that the whole world lieth in wickedness, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. He is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen.
Yes, amen.
God bless. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful evening of teaching.
Amen. Glory
amen.
To God. And I give all praise, all honor, and all glory to God, because I just have a real desire to see God's people be all that he wants us to be. And I don't, and it really hurts me to see my brothers and sisters in Christ hurting or afraid or allowing the enemy to isolate them and beat them down and work them over. You know, it causes me to want to shout the word of God from the rooftops and say, wake up. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to be this way? Don't you know who you are? Don't you understand who you belong to? Don't you understand that you are already victorious if you believe in Christ Jesus? I don't, you know,
Amen.
And if we are victorious, if we say we're victorious, then we need to live like we're victorious. If we say we're a praying people, then we need to be praying, expecting God to move. If we say we are loving people, then we ought to love one another. Not when it's convenient, not when it's when everybody's looking, but we need to love one another in the lean times, the mean times, the in-between times, when nobody is looking, when it just might be you and that one other brother or that one other sister on the floor crying your eyeballs out, but you're praying and you're crying and you're speaking that word together. You're getting strength from one another. Hallelujah. Because I know there's never been a time that I have not encouraged somebody else that I was not encouraged.
Thank you, Jesus.
When we encourage others, we are in turn reminding ourselves of what God says. We are actually strengthening and fortifying ourselves because we are keeping that word alive within us. And then when we share that word in a way that people can be delivered and truly be healed, I mean delivered, healed with no scars, no residues, no Band-Aids needed. Done, like it never was.
Yeah.
We can truly live like that right now if we truly believe.
Yes.
I want to thank all of the wonderful Spirit Alive family, and that includes Mother Mattie from the Good Shepherd, Evangelist Michelle Scott, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Minister Tina Brown, our wonderful Bishop Lester Carver, his beautiful wife, Pastor Vanessa, and, of course, my mother, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. I want to thank all of you mighty warriors for coming out and just availing yourself to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to use you to bless others. So I just want to thank you all. I want to thank all of our listeners that are in the studio, that are listening via your computers and around the world, and that will listen and rebroadcast. We're so glad that you joined us here tonight. We pray that you heard something that truly blessed your soul and uplifted your spirits. On tomorrow night, please be prepared to listen to Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night teachings, which airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Spirit Alive Network. And on this Wednesday, we'll be having Daughters of Naomi. We have a special guest coming, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter from Oakland, California, will be in the house. Hallelujah. I want to just thank each and every, and then on Thursday, hallelujah, you can hear Pastor Vanessa Carver. Hallelujah. She is going to bring us, been bringing us an awesome word on forgiveness and healing and how those components work together. Friday we will have Brother Rick Altman here, and he will be talking to us about the Ten Commandments. He's going to tell us, what I love about him is he said, look, for those who want to say they're not spiritual, he said, I'm going to show them how the Ten Commandments is still the best moral code any man or woman could ever have. And then on Saturday, we're going to be listening to the summit. So we just invite you to continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. Please check out all these anointed servant leaders here, because they all have their own ministries. They all have their own programs. And I'm telling you, if you start tuning in on a regular basis, I guarantee you're sure to be blessed. So on behalf of all of us here at Spirit Alive, we pray you continue to have a beautiful and blessed evening. Acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network and taking it to the streets. Good night, and God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Bye,
not
family. I enjoyed you. God bless you. I love you.
Love each
good
night.
And everyone.
God bless you.
God
love
bless.
You all.
God bless you.
God bless you.